morning, and this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. And boy, have they been blowing the website up lately. We have had a ton of leads and people coming in and a lot of activity out there. We always, of course, like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Baseball.
More baseball, huh?
Yep.
You've been a busy guy with that, for sure. It's that time of year.
Absolutely. And Harley's last game is today, and so now we'll be down to one team.
There you go. Yeah, just easy to manage now. Mustang, how did you do it without? So we also have with us Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how are you?
I am fantastic. I'm loving the weather. The spring is fully underway. Business is booming. Everything's great.
I saw a bunch of signs. Getting changed up around Tri-Cities a little bit.
Yeah, they officially have removed the old Sterling signs and the Umpqua signs are up.
Yeah, we took a little day trip last weekend on Sunday to Walla Walla and up through Milton Freeway. Some Umpqua signs showing up over
there
too.
Yeah. Yeah, the transitions should be pretty well wrapped up here in the next month or so. I think they have all signage done.
All right, fantastic. Well, good to have you here, and thanks for being here, as always, to help us out on the lending side of things. One of the things we like to start with, we always like to throw in a local news story. And on the local front this week, man, the headlines have all have been about the controversy at Amon Creek Preserve. Potential new development going on out there with Hayden Homes, new subdivision. There's been a lot of talk about balancing the stakeholders in that. And, of course, this week to weigh in were Kennewick school officials, because the biggest controversy comes with the idea of a road crossing through that preserve that would connect Rachel Road and Steptoe, kind of an east-west corridor road there. So Kennewick school officials, of course, it's interesting because that is a Richland address, but that is served by the Kennewick School District. So now we've got stakeholders of traffic patterns and what they need for the Kennewick schools with the potential of needing an elementary school there with up to 325 homes potentially in that subdivision. So a lot of stakeholders there. You've got the developer. You've got the Amon Creek Preserve there. You've got the City of Richland. You've got Kennewick Schools. That is a lot of different agendas to balance.
A lot of moving parts.
So it seems like so far it's been pretty amicable, but if I was a betting man, I would expect to see some fireworks before this is all done.
It's not over yet, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's a lot there and a lot of things to balance. So when we look at, you know, the community and balancing those issues, that's a lot of stakeholders in one development. So trying to balance growth with preserving some of our natural habitat. I don't envy the people in those positions that have been making it work, but it seems like there's good communication flowing so far. If there's any major, major developments there, we'll kind of keep you apprised on that. On then our national fun house / celebrity story.
Subtitled, A Fool and His Money will soon be
funded. Yes. Now, this one's about a price drop, a big price drop. $500,000 price cut to, if you've seen the movie American Hustle, you have the opening, and that was a that was David Russell's comedy drama based upon what was called the Abscam scandal. And I've seen that movie, and the opening scene where we're introduced to the characters is in a 10,000 square foot house with an indoor pool. And that house is on the market, originally listed in 2011 for $6 million, couple price drops, and it's down to now $4.99. Problem being, where it's located in Boston, in the neighborhood called Brookline, median home value around
$599,000.
Uh-oh. little bigger than that neighborhood is used to. So
that's where you say
a comp.
You don't want the nicest house in the neighborhood, right?
That's exactly right. Now, even at that, it is 10,000 square feet, indoor pool, tennis court, carriage house, 7 bedrooms, 6 baths, crazy. But no matter how nice it is, when it's running about, if my math is correct, about 8 times the median value of the neighborhood, that can create some problems for you. So that is our crazy celebrity story that we have there. Back to a little bit of reality with what we're dealing with in our current real estate market now in this week's topic. And that is, because it's come up so much recently, is we've been pretty fortunate. The weather's been pretty mild recently. We've started to tick up there. But as soon as we do, we always come across the reminder of what do you need to do to make sure you're prepared for summer. And because what's going to happen is you don't want to get caught kind of behind the ball, and then all of a sudden that temperature goes to 102, 104, and you can smell it. It's not too far away, you know, if we got an early, you know, kind of heat wave. So a couple things, and I put together a list of about 10 things you really need to be looking for right now as we move into summer and some of these temperatures. The first thing that has come up on a number of our properties the last couple weeks is it seems to be right now we're seeing a ton of junk in those irrigation canals. Lots of extra debris in there. So what's that doing? Plugging filters. And so what happens is right now people need to be checking their irrigation filters more frequently, because as soon as those plug, you know, 3-4 days later, we get into the 90s and you're looking out and your lush green yard is a lot less than to be desired. And it can turn pretty quickly. So if you're planning any vacations, you're going to be away for more than 3 or 4 days. Just one of those little reminders, especially or if you have any vacant properties or rentals, now's a good time to make sure that somebody is checking on those filters, cleaning those filters regularly so that you don't get into a bigger problem. So that was really just number one on my list, because we've been dealing with that a ton. Another thing that we're seeing that's coming back on a lot of inspection reports right now and just the last couple weeks is really inspecting the caulking around the windows and doors and any openings in the house. You know, we think about this during the cold season sometimes, but sometimes that can really come up even more so during the summer months when you're running that air conditioning. Definitely look at underneath door thresholds and some of those surfaces, but really getting all of that sealed up can be a huge one. Number three, I hadn't really honestly thought about this a lot, but when I see it, it makes a lot of sense. So in the summer, you want to change the direction of your ceiling fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
great tip.
And so, do you know what direction they should be running?
Down.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Down in the summer.
Yes, but what direction would the fan run to make that happen?
Well, I'd just stand under it and wait till I feel air coming on.
Counterclockwise.
Okay.
In general in the industry. I did some more research on this. I got to this point, I'm like, okay, let's throw in a little more research here. So the research says that when you have a downdraft like that, so this is opposite of the direction it runs in the winter. So in the summer, you want to run that fan counterclockwise, and so that can add a wind chill in the room that will make it feel up to 8 degrees colder by running your fan in that direction. So then you can put your air conditioner setting a little bit higher and save on some of those energy bills.
Unless you put the blades on backwards.
Unless you put the blades on backwards, then generally the industry says counterclockwise.
But we'll go with that.
If the blades have been put on backwards, we're going to need to reevaluate and use Tom's.
Yeah, if you're standing under it and you don't feel a breeze, switch it the other way.
Okay, perfect. So definitely changing your fan's direction is a great idea this Saturday morning for sure, because it's coming. This is one that we miss a lot, but it causes a lot of issues in houses. We've seen it come back a lot on our inspection reports, and that is cleaning out your dryer vents. A lot of times these get clogged with lint, and then it causes the warm air to blow back into the room where your dryer's located, and then eventually warming up raising the temperature in the whole house and making everything have to work harder. So a lot of people, you know, you've been in a house 3, 4, 5 years, it's not an item that you always remember to clean your dryer vents. So there's great services out there. We've had people on the show before that do this. Sean Mattoon with BF Power Vac is a great resource for for that. So you can get a hold of those folks, and if you need a referral to them or have any questions about their numbers, give me a call, because it really makes a big difference, and we see this all the time in these inspection reports.
Not to mention safety, dryer fires are a lot more common than you think.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a safety issue right there, too. Why they're out, too, one of the things they can do, your system's going to be running a lot more when the AC is constantly going, is they can also clean the vents while they're there in the house. It's amazing the type of dust and allergens that get built up inside those ventilation systems. So, great tip there. The next one that we had written down, I mean, it just seems like we've talked about this before on the show, but it's a quick one. But that is just change the filters. Mm-hmm. So many times we're not getting the proper amount of airflow through those units, then eventually causing them to freeze up and work extra hard. So a lot of times just before we hit that heat, before it gets to be 102 and that thing's cranking out there, just do a double check. And if you haven't, get those filters changed. Keeping those clean and going is just one of the biggest tips. And it seems so simple, but we all get busy, and especially if that thing's in a crawl space or an attic, it's just not one of those things you think about every Saturday when you're lounging around.
Yeah, you know, take a little marker, mark the date on it when you put it up there, so that way
absolutely
you set a reminder on your phone in 3-4 months or so to replace it, and makes it easy on you.
Yep, definitely, and that really increases the life of systems. It's one of the big things that inspectors are looking for. The next item that we had written down here, and we see this happening a lot, is just remember to what bathroom exhaust fans are for during showers, and that's to get moisture out of your house. Okay, so during the summer, an air conditioner's primary purpose, okay, here's what it does, is it replaces warm, moist air with cool, dry air. So, I mean, if you're really muggy, you know, getting all those muggy conditions going and stuff, it's just that much harder that everything has to work. And then the next point we had down too, and we talked about this a lot, is switching to CFL bulbs, and that's the compact fluorescent bulbs. It's all the new bulbs that you see out. It's amazing. Not only is that an energy savings, but they put out so much less heat than the older style bulbs. And so that right there can lower the amount of heat that's being brought into the house. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just some of those basic tips that we have there that we're looking out for right now can really make a big difference. We talk about this a lot when people are going to be putting their homes on the market in the summer. But for just general tips to make it life a little bit easier in the summer, those are some of the big ones that really come up. Before we jump to our first break here, I do want to get in one just great listing that we have available right now. This is a house that's located out in Kennewick. It's 10616 South Private Road Southeast, and that's Private Road Southeast 2058. So this is out in East Kennewick. It's 1,400 square feet, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. But it has a huge shop with it. And so I know a lot of people are out there looking for a shop, you know, on an acre, fully landscaped, and the price point of this is coming in at $159.9. So just a fantastic price point. Seller wants it sold. They have to relocate. And so they said, let's get an offer on that thing. So that one is really priced to sell. So fantastic new listing out there. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk some lending with Tom Coyne at Umpqua. And we're going to talk a little bit more about buyer agency, what it is, and why you need it.
Right here on Newstalk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about some tips preparing your house for the summer. I know we don't like to think about the triple digits, but I got a little taste of the low 90s and said, you know what, we need to do a show on this and brush up a little bit on some of that. And we're just seeing it. You know, we always try to bring what's happening in the market right now to the show, and there's a lot of that out there. On the lending side of things, Tom at Umpqua, save us. Please save us from, man, I tell you what, you know, I see a lot. I get to, we have a big inventory, a lot of listings. We do a lot of deals, so I get to see a lot. And there's a reason why we send a lot of our buyers to Mr. Tom Coyne here at Umpqua. There's a reason why we love to deal with them. And generally that reason is made more apparent to me by other things that happen from other places, we'll say.
And Lance is being diplomatic.
I'm being very diplomatic. And so, anyway, so, you know, give us an update on what's going on. We just appreciate how you do things and how thorough you are. But, yeah, give us an update on what we need to know right now with lending.
Well, I appreciate that, Lance. And, you know, it's unfortunate for clients, but you really don't know you selected the wrong lender until it's too late.
Yeah,
you're 3 weeks in a transaction, 3 days from closing, and you get the call saying, you know, this and this happened. I'm sorry, your loan's not approved, or we need another 3 weeks, or who knows. But unfortunately, like I said, you just don't know you selected the wrong lender until it's too late into a transaction. So I thought it would be appropriate to give people an idea of what can they be asking when they're shopping around for their home loan. Like, what questions do you ask? What should you be looking for? And I think this should really help people. I've been in the mortgage lending industry for about 10 years now in the Tri-Cities, and there's one thing I've learned more than anything, and it's that not all lenders are created equal. Lance,
right.
I think you would agree to that.
I would agree to that, amazingly, especially after a couple of things we saw the last couple of weeks. So yeah, you're right, they're not.
Well, and it's not surprising to me when I speak to a client, and they've been shopping around for their home loan, and then they come to me to get a quote, and we're saving them in excess of $100 a month, or maybe we're saving them a couple thousand dollars off their closing costs. I mean, we see it all the time. Many people I speak with, they often think it's just best to go to their local credit union or bank where they're family's been banking for the last 50 years to get their home loan. However, this isn't always the case, and it's especially risky if the loan officer is, or if the client is speaking to a loan officer who's maybe kind of inexperienced and they don't know all the different financing options that are out there. It seems to me that a lot of loan officers that I see quotes for when clients are shopping around just put clients into a loan that's easy to process, or one that basically, if someone can get approved for a loan, they're going to be able to get approved for this one. Just easier loans to get people approved for. Now, these programs don't always line up with the client's best interest. So not making that extra phone call, to me, could honestly cost you money every single month on your loan over the next 30 years. So I wanted to give you a couple things to look for when you're shopping around for your loan. First, you could probably guess it. What's the first thing you want to look for, Lance?
The first thing you want to look for is somebody that's actually here.
Okay, well,
like in the Tri-City.
That's important. Okay. So,
sorry if that wasn't on your list, but that's what I'm looking for.
That is good.
Okay.
So I'm going to assume that everyone wants to work with someone local.
Yeah.
So that, I'm assuming
you.
That in my list.
Oh, you already assumed that.
Yeah.
I don't, because I see it. Okay.
I'm assuming someone wants to come in, sit down in my office, meet with me face to face. So the second thing Lance would look for is what is your interest rate?
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Everybody knows to look for the interest rate. Obviously, the lower the rate, the lower the amount of interest going to pay over the client's going to pay over the life of the loan. Even with an eighth of a percent change in interest rates change in 0.125% increments, it could have a huge impact on the amount of interest that homeowner will pay. So obviously, always try to get as lowest rate possible. Again, your credit union may not have the lowest interest rate on a home loan like they do on an auto loan. So it's something to keep in mind. Worry less about APR. That's number two on my list. I know you're saying, what? Did Tom just say that? Everyone says, what is APR? I just said that. So many people will get wrapped up in, what is the APR on a loan?
Yep.
In my opinion, APR couldn't be less relevant. It's just a formula that takes the interest rate, your mortgage insurance, and any closing costs, and then it spits out a number. I do loans all day long. I can't look at an APR and tell you what the interest rate or closing costs are. I want to see what's important to me, which is, what is my rate, what are my costs? And an APR doesn't tell you that. Now, the government has changed how we structure our fees so many times, yet the APR formula has never changed. If a lender is giving a credit for the closing costs, and so a client has a zero closing cost loan, why is the APR higher than the rate if it's a no-cost loan? It doesn't make sense to me. To be honest with you, I don't even know the answer. But again, worry less about APR. Worry more about your rate, your costs, whatever the PMI, the things that you can actually see, the things that you can understand. That's what's going to have more of an impact on your loan. Now, the third thing I wrote down here, and this somewhat contradicts number one that I just talked about in interest rates, but don't look just at the interest rate when you're not putting 20% down. When you don't put 20% down, you have to pay mortgage insurance in one form or another. If one of the lender gives you a quote and they're at 4% with $200 a month in mortgage insurance, and another lender gives you a quote at 4.25% but has no mortgage insurance monthly, you might make a mistake in selecting which loan to go with if you automatically took the lower interest rate. So don't always just look at the interest rate when you're not putting 20% down. Definitely factor in the mortgage insurance, because that is a really it's a fee that can have a big impact on your loan, and especially the cost that you're going to pay monthly when not putting 20% down. The fourth thing, a lot of people obviously know this, look at your closing costs. Make sure you're checking what fees your lender's charging you. Just because a lender says they can match another lender's rate, it doesn't mean they're matching what the costs are. One lender might have to charge you an extra $3,000 in fees just to get to the same rate as what another lender is offering you with a flat fee of $995 like Umpqua has on all their home loans. So it's important to definitely look at what the closing costs are and find a nice balance between what is the interest rate and what is the closing cost. Now, the fifth thing I wrote down here is ask the loan officer to tell you what other programs are out there that they didn't present to you. You want to make sure you're exploring all of your options and don't automatically accept what they offer you. I don't get offended at all if someone asks me, what about an FHA loan? Or what if I pay my mortgage insurance up front? Or really anything. I really actually like seeing clients, you know, ask me these questions, because it shows me they've been online, they've been doing their research, and they come in with a little bit of background knowledge. It's my job to, of course, put them into the best program that fits their needs, but I'll never just tell them what is their best program. I tell them why it's their best program. And it just makes them feel more comfortable that I'm taking the time to put them in the best program that fits their needs. So now that you know what questions to ask and what to look for when you're shopping around for your home loan, the next question is, who do you call? Well, I honestly think the best two ways to find out who you should talk to is by asking your friends and family and finding out what experiences they've had, and maybe try calling out a loan officer or speaking to a loan officer and saying, can I see some reviews from some of your past clients? If you ask around, there's a very good chance I finance a home for one of your friends or family, and I've closed anywhere from 100 to 200 transactions every year for the last 7 years, so there's definitely no shortage of reviews that I could provide to you as well. I take the service side of my business very, very seriously, and there's a good mix with how aggressive our rates and programs are, with how our service is structured, and we definitely try to exceed our clients' expectations. So if you're shopping around for your loan, I'd love to chat with you about your different options. I'd be happy to provide you with reviews from my past clients, and hopefully it makes your job easier and selecting the right loan officer.
Good information, Tom. That's great information. And you're right. Tri-Cities normally has, the rest of the world, they say, has 7 degrees of separation from anybody. I think Tri-Cities operates on about 3 degrees
of
separation.
Maybe. Yeah.
So
you're lucky.
You're right. So some good reviews there. One of the things that came up that I thought we should talk about is a document that not a lot of people are prepared to see and people don't know, and that's an agreement called a buyer's agency agreement. And that is when somebody is helping somebody find a home. They've gone to a real estate agent and they've inquired about some homes and they want to have them help find a home. Well, there's actually, even prior to writing a contract, there's an agreement that you can enter with that agent so that you have representation. And one of the things that people immediately say, and this is not has not always been common practice, and I would say it's probably still not as common as it should be in our local market. But what that does is that creates duties and duties that are required by that agent that you have basically, for lack of a better word, employed. But what you've done is you've established an agency relationship. And that is kind of a big commitment level between the agent and the client on both ends of the spectrum, the agent for the client and the client for the agent. But one of the reasons this comes up is because the law of agency in Washington is really an interesting thing. So one of the things that happens is the way our law of agency works is that an agent that is working with a buyer or showing a buyer home represents the buyer by default unless there is a written agency agreement with the seller. Okay, so what is a written agency agreement for the seller? In fact, a listing agreement creates an agency relationship between a seller and that listing agent. So let's give an example here of how that works. And remember the two things that I just told you. So the first example is that an agent has a house listed. And what happens is they don't sell it. And that listing expires. That listing cancels and expires. But their sign is still up in the front of the house. Tom, you go along and you see that sign and you're interested in the house, so you call that sign. And you call that sign and you have that agent show it to you, that listing agent. And they show it to you. You love it and you decide, I'm going to add this to my investment portfolio. So you have that agent write up an offer for you and take it to the seller. Who does that listing broker represent in this scenario?
Well, they represent the seller, of course.
Wrong. Yes. Their listing agreement, I told you, had expired.
Oh, expired. Okay, yep.
So now they no longer have a written agreement with
the seller. Okay, got it.
So by default, they represent you as the buyer exclusively.
Got it. Okay.
Which is crazy, right?
Right. Like, absolutely.
This type of stuff happens all the time. And these are some awesome examples that came. We have this amazing resource with us. Annie Fitzsimmons is the Washington Association of Realtors attorney. She gives these updates and these scenarios for us as agents. But I think it's important, too, that the clients and as many people in the community know this type of stuff. So that's a really interesting. So here's another great example of how agency law can work. You're showing homes to your best friend. You said, I don't need an agency agreement. That's my best friend. They're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything with anybody else. So you've known them forever. So you're out showing homes to your best friend, and they end up seeing one of your own listings. And so I go and I show my best friend that listing. And they said, you know what, Lance? We want to buy it. And we trust everything you've always done. Write this up for me. So I write it up for my best friend, and I take it to my seller, who I represented. In that case, I now, because I didn't get a buyer agency signed with my best friend, even though I wrote the offer, in that transaction, I exclusively represent the seller only. I mean, so it's just incredible how these things can happen with the lack of existing agency relationships defined in writing. Now, we could go with that same scenario, and we could say prior to, you would sign a buyer agency with your best friend. You had shown your seller that, you had shown one of your own listings. And in that point, you would become what's known as a dual agent, where you have duties to both parties. Gets really messy. There's a lot of things we do to avoid those types of situations. One of the great things, we have a lot of flexibility within our team because we have different team members in our agency, and we send buyers, even though as a designated broker, I am defined as a dual agent because I supervise those agents. So there's permissions that you have to get to do that and be careful. But knowing how it works and studying this and following the attorneys, it's amazing what can happen if you have not defined that agency relationship with your agent. So when you're presented with a document like this, it's a shock. A lot of times people are like, what? You want me to sign a contract to go show me houses? I've never heard of this before. That's crazy. The reason is because in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of changes to agency law. And so it's because of those changes that this has become a more prevalent practice. It's actually a more clear-cut, in my opinion, better practice to have an agency agreement signed with your real estate agent. If you're out there looking at houses with your agent and you don't have one of these agreements signed, you want to talk to your agent about why that is. So that's a big tip there before, is why haven't you done that? Why haven't you asked me to do that? And it can avoid a lot of potential problems that could come up. So that's just some things on agency law that, and I'm sure that explanation over the radio could sound extremely complicated because, we take full day-long classes about this, but I just wanted people to realize that there could be situations where you're not sure who's representing you. And ask your agent, ask your realtor to explain that to you so that you have a better understanding of that. Now, before we go here, I know we're busting up against our deadline here before McKay kicks us off the air, but we've got two more houses I wanted to fit in. Number one, this place is absolutely incredible. This is right here in Pasco, 5804 West Sylvester. So what this is a three-bedroom, three-bath house. It's just about 1,600 square feet, but then I got to tell you, it has got an absolutely incredible shop with it. It's a Rambler, and it backs right up to the pathway with the Columbia River.
Ooh.
So you got access to just this incredible, incredible location. You've got the shop that you've been looking for with a storage room, two extra bays, and an office in that shop. And there's still the garage in the house. I mean, this is just, it's very hard to find smaller properties like this around that 1,600 square foot range with a shop, and especially then backing up to the river. So when you put all of those together, it doesn't sound like that's even a real property, but it is. It's 5804 West Sylvester, and this is priced right at $240,000.
Wow.
So that's a brand new listing. Also, first-time homebuyers out there, maybe downsizing, we've just got a great opportunity. 4731 Hibiscus Street. This is in West Richland. It's just your fantastic three-bedroom, two-bath Rambler with a two-car garage coming in right in at 1120 square feet. And that's just a basic, great entry-level home at that price. $135,000. So whether you're downsizing, starter home, great opportunity, fantastic location, great corner lot. So that's 4731 Hibiscus. If you have any questions about this at all, you can reach us at 727-8977. And Tom, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Give me a call at the office, 783-7300, or go to my website, TomCoinHomeLoans.com.
All right, and we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.